Alice in Wonderland, where Alice is the only one that isn't a Muppet. But then again, that's basically the Labyrinth, isn't it?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is time for some new geeky boners. We're going to talk about game shows and Animal Crossing and Apple TV. Apple TV, that's a thing? I guess so.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
That's me.
And I definitely remembered I was supposed to host this one and wasn't waiting for Nick to talk first.
Of course you weren't.
You know why I thought that it was going to be Nick hosting this one?
I don't.
Because it's a boners episode.
Oh, because Nick has a dick. I got it.
He does. I've seen it. But in this instance, we all have boners because this is the episode where we talk about what's got us throbbing. What geeky or nuanced thing are we obsessed over enough that the vein on the side is pulsing and the head is a little uncomfortable from how much blood is in it?
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome.
If that doesn't turn people off to this episode right away, I don't know what will.
Tim, it sounded like your boner noise was like some Skrillex over there.
A little bit.
It sounded like you were like dropping the.
Yeah, his boner is going to drop the beat.
It's just like those robots from The Mandalorian.
It is
a little bit, a little bit like
dubstep
that.
Robots. Please.
Yeah,
dubstep dick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of your dubstep dick, though, Tim.
Please
elucidate, describe. And stroke your boner. What's got you hard? What's your geeky boner today?
You know, the thing that actually has been happening around our house, which is kind of weird, is lately we have discovered that, like, every classic game show has a modern version that is on Hulu or Netflix right now. And we have been watching all of them. And some of them are terrible and some of them are kind of awesome. But like fucking Supermarket Sweep with Felicity Jones, brand
new.
Sorry, Leslie Jones. Excuse me. Felicity Jones is a very different person. With Leslie, there are a lot of Joneses.
Yeah,
it gets very confusing. It could have been with Indiana Jones. I don't fucking know. But anyway, with Leslie Jones, it's like Supermarket Sweep. Are you kidding me? That was that show was so dumb back in the 90s. And I mean, it's still dumb now, but it's dumb in kind of the best possible ways.
My brother and I fucking loved that show.
there's like classic episodes of Supermarket Sweep on Netflix right now. Mm. And we watch them. The host of that, David Ruprecht, I think is his name. Like the name of the character. Yes, exactly. That's that.
And he looks like a 90s guy.
He does. He looks super 90s. He is quite possibly the most disturbingly cheerful game show host I've ever seen in my life. He creeps you out. But there's also like fucking Press Your Luck.
With Elizabeth Banks. That's with the Whammies,
It's with the Whammies, and you can win like $1 million fucking dollars on this thing now. Because
do the Whammies still do hilarious things like come out and they take your money and then they hook it up to some dynamite and they go hey, and they blow it up and your money's gone?
Well, when you say hilarious things, there's where I have a problem. Do the Whammies still do those things? Indeed, they do. let's be very clear about this. And then just yesterday, we discovered that there's a new version of To Tell the Truth.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And
it's a fun show.
It is. It was a lot more entertaining than we thought. Like 5 minutes in, I'm like, I feel like I'm done with this. And Pat said, no, let's give it a little more. And pretty soon we're 3 episodes in. So part of it was that it was an episode where they had a guy who was a Sasquatch hunter and we're like, bullshit.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess if that's his job, so.
But he was.
anyway, so we've been getting into watching all these game shows that have been revived. and brought back to the prime time. And a lot of these are like not all of them, but a lot of them are being produced now because they can produce them with people far enough apart.
Yeah.
That they can still do the show. Although super interesting watching some of these shows. Like we talked a while back about the singing show, I Can Hear Your Voice.
I Can Hear Your Voice,
which is being produced right now. And the way they have everybody in the room sitting at least 6 feet apart, and they show audience, but the audience is clearly pre-taped. And there's like a video wall behind him. So sometimes the video wall will show people, but other times there's clearly nobody there. Nobody is fucking there.
That's interesting. And
then they're doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Huh. And it's mostly celebrities, which pisses me off. I don't give a shit about people winning for charity. I want real people winning real money.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever. But that one, they don't even pretend there's an audience.
Oh, okay.
They don't, you know, and they are talking about how it is COVID times. And if somebody, there was one guy who won $1 million and they're like, I want to hug. I want to hug somebody and I can't.
That's good.
So
that's cool.
So there's a lot of it. That's my boner. We've just been finding all this shit on Netflix and Hulu and going, oh, dang, well, let's see if this is any good. And some of it is absolute trash and we watch it anyway. And some of it is pretty good and we watch it.
What's the worst one? What's the worst one you watched?
Oh, well, I was going to say it was going to be what's my line, but it ended up not being that bad. To tell the truth, excuse me.
Yeah.
It ended up being not, honestly, the new Match Game is pretty shitty. It's got Alec Baldwin as the host and whoever's doing the writing for the host is just terrible.
And that's too bad.
And the celebrities are kind of but no, I'm sorry. It's High Rollers. Is it High Rollers? It's the one with the cards.
Ace is High, Joker's Wild.
No, it's not Joker's Wild. It's with what's his name from fucking Community. God damn it. I'm losing.
High Rollers is the one with the dice, isn't it? Right?
From Community. Joel McHale.
Yeah, Joel McHale.
Oh shit.
Is on it, and I'm gonna look it up because I gotta get the name of it.
Because I thought the Joker's game. Wild was the one with the cards where you're basically playing blackjack. And then
card sharks.
Oh, that was
literally just a roll of cards, sharks? And you got to be like
sharks.
Yeah, okay. you get a card like let's say you get a jack. You got to guess if the next card is higher or lower.
Than a
jack, and that's the entire goddamn game.
Yeah, card sharks is bad
for an hour. All you got is people guessing whether a card is higher or lower.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I love me some Joel McHale, but that show can just go fuck itself.
Did you watch a lot of game shows in your youth?
I did.
In your teens? Yeah, me too.
I did. And whenever I was homesick, that was the best part about being homesick. It was like, I get to watch The Price is Right. And that was great. Yep.
And when I was in my 20s and doing lots of things that kept me up all night, we would watch the Game Show Network a lot because it was always on. And so we watched a lot of really, really – and Card Sharks is one of those ones that's real bad.
Ew.
It's real boring. Yeah.
There's no part of Card Sharks that's interesting.
Cash Cab is a good one.
I got to say that Press Your Luck, which is dumb as hell, and it's entirely random, right? Maybe you're going to get a whammy and lose everything, but the fact is that they've got prizes on the board, and that makes it way more interesting because they're not just punching the button and getting money. They're getting crazy-ass prizes. And they do this thing where they've got a final round now where somebody can win like $1 million, but what they do is like as you go through the final round, they start adding more and more like personalized rewards. To the board that they like talk to you and your family and they find out these things that you really, really want or
like
you really, really love.
And
exactly.
Insurance.
Yeah. Exactly. And
to lure them into tapping out
it's to lure them into going forward because you don't have it yet.
You might get those things. Yeah.
This is big shit. Like they'll be like, "Well, you're gonna get a Mercedes, and congratulations, you get a Mercedes." Oh wait, well that's no fun. The Mercedes is the car you want. What about the car your wife wants? She wants a Tesla. You're gonna get a Mercedes and a Tesla. Oh my god.
Uh-huh.
It's just funny. Entertaining.
if you there's you can look up old videos. There they didn't it did not used to be random.
No, it
there
didn't.
Was a pattern to it, and yep. there's a guy you can watch a video of him basically just dominating the board because he was able to figure out the pattern.
He was for a long time the biggest
extra spin yeah. after, and it's just nuts. It's a really fun video to see. Yeah,
he was for the long time the biggest winner on any game show. And it was not cheating. There were a lot of people like, he cheated. He's like, nope, he just figured out the pattern.
Yep.
He was the one who figured out the pattern.
I loved that show. That was one of my brothers and my favorites. Supermarket Sweep, Press Your Luck. And we didn't like Match Game because it was just like a bunch of drunk celebrities who didn't know who they were. Now I appreciate it more as an adult. But like as a kid, that was a little bit more boring. Yeah. You know?
I'm a sucker for Price is Right. I really love Price is Right.
The Price is Right, but that one's not shown up on Hulu or anything.
Sure, because it's network. Yeah,
it's network. So.
That's a good boner, Tim.
It's a boner that could be worth $1 million.
It's $1 million boner.
Yeah, about that.
Nick, how about you? What's got you tumescent and turgid and unable to stand up in class?
So mine is similar to Tim's in that it's watching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is a boner we share, you and
it
I,
is
a little
a
bit.
It is a boner we share.
So a while back, we got Apple TV Plus for free because we have iPhones. We bought phones. And but we haven't had a device in our house that streams it well. They have a Roku app. I've never gotten it to work reliably on our pretty decent Roku Ultra. And so we haven't really watched.
You would hook the laptop up, but then you couldn't pause it without getting up and going across the room to the laptop.
Not ideal.
It didn't look right.
I watched a show on that alone on a computer, like in the background while working, and I really loved it, and I wanted to rewatch it and watch it with Molly. So she and I watched Mythic Quest,
Raven's Banquet,
which is, there's a bunch of people you might know from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, a woman who wrote for Community and Modern Family as well, is one of the show creators with Charlie Day and Rob McElhenney. And it is about a video game production company as a kind of workplace comedy.
They make an MMORPG. It's basically World of Warcraft.
They basically make World of Warcraft, and they have to deal with, you know, the fans, and there's the playtesters, and like Ashley Birch from Hey Ash, What You Playin', or what was she, the voice actress in
Tiny Tina.
Last of Us, or Borderlands, she's Tiny Tina. She plays one of the playtesters. The writer for the game is like a guy who won a Nebula Award in the 70s, who's like a pulp science fiction writer who's kind of up his own ass with a tweed jacket.
Played by F. Murray Abraham.
That's so great. That's the perfect kind of character for F. Murray Abraham to play.
And he's like, he like drinks during the day and talks about the 70s, and like he always has his Nebula with him. Like it's just always around.
Just out of nowhere, he'll just be like, well, when I won my Nebula, and it'll be like all of a sudden in the board meeting, it's there.
And he's written like 50 science fiction novels and he doesn't remember half of them. And
right.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It is a very funny show, and if you don't like it, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I would say it's not the same kind of mean, immature humor, though I wouldn't say it's not immature at all sometimes. I would say the show has a lot of heart.
So much.
And I would
say, it made us cry.
I would say specifically, there's an episode right in the middle of the show, which is a bit of a non sequitur, which has none of the same regularly occurring characters, that starts in the early 90s and is about a couple that form a relationship as they form an indie game development company together, and it's how that affects their relationship as time passes. It is one of the sweetest single episodes of television of all time.
They also did one of the best quarantine Zoom episodes I've seen of any show.
Because they came back to do a 10th episode during quarantine after they had been
and it's really done good. It's really good.
It's a fantastic show. I can't recommend enough. The other show on Apple TV Plus that we just fucking crushed and went right through was one that a friend of the show, Wendy Bowlesby, had sung the praises of High and Low, and that's Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah. I've heard really good stuff. I need to watch that.
Jason Sudeikis.
I will say, everyone was like saying how good it was, and I was like, yeah, I don't really care about sports, so I just don't think I'm going to like it. I did not know that he is coaching English football. He's coaching soccer in the show. So the whole show is set in London.
Right.
And there's just two Americans. Yep. And that makes it a way different experience than what I was into. So if you are like me and you've seen the promo images of Jason Sudeikis with a, you know, with a Magnum PI mustache and a whistle around his neck, and you're like, eh, I don't care. It's fucking amazing.
Neither of us really give a shit about sports, especially not either football.
I like anything. I like soccer.
But it is about it's kind of a fish out of water story of a minor league American football coach from Kansas.
High school football.
High school. Is it high school?
High school and college. It's not even minor league.
So like a college football coach from Kansas who gets hired to take over the equivalent of like a major league.
A Premier League
football team in London because the wife of the people that owned the team got the team in a divorce from her husband, and she is out to major league the team and sabotage them because she wants nothing more than to see the team fail so she can hurt her ex-husband.
Because the team is the only thing he cared about.
It was the thing he cared about most, and she's going to wreck the team. Little does she know that Ted Lasso is the most contagiously optimistic and sunny person who will win over everyone with his sincerity, regardless of how bitter or negative you are.
Yeah.
And the
characters are really good too.
I would say normally I have a pretty low tolerance for someone that is a bursting ray of sunshine all the time. Like that level of...
It's true. He doesn't love it.
That level of overwhelming optimism can be a little one note. It can be a little...
Suffocating.
It's just like a bit much. Like, who's that fucking happy?
Yeah.
I did not feel that way at all with Ted Lasso because it's so fucking sincere. And there are a lot of minor characters who are absolutely fucking hilarious. Coach Beard, his assistant coach, who's traveling with him from Kansas to London, is so fucking subtly funny throughout the entire show. And the kit manager and everyone's great.
Every character is very multidimensional, very fleshed out.
Yeah.
Nobody's a one-note joke. Every single person, even if you're like, oh, I know, I got this guy figured out, he's this character, it gets turned around, you find out more about them, and it's really great. It's just really, really good. And like, again, another show that made me cry, and I was just like, what is happening?
Totally.
Like, Apple TV show is making me cry.
I think that's the pandemic, but whatever. The life is making you cry while you're watching these shows. No. But I want to circle back. Did you find an app to watch Apple TV on? Because you said, okay.
They put out an Xbox app.
Yes, because I was going to say exactly the same thing, is that we just added it to our Xbox.
Yep.
And
as soon as they did, we just started burning through Apple shows.
Yeah, because there's a lot of content there. And there's stuff we haven't checked out yet. Like, I know you said there's like a Wolfwalkers.
Wolfwalkers is a animated movie by the same people who made The Secret of Kells, and it is no shit amazing.
Okay.
Just really, really fan. The animation is sort of in the style of like medieval tapestries.
Yeah.
Oh,
if
cool.
That makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
And it's this really cool story about Wolfwalkers, an Irish legend.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's so
like
good.
Selkies,
it's
wolves.
Yeah. A little bit. Well, no. Anyway, just watch the fucking movie. Just watch
it. There's other shows on there that we haven't checked out yet, like C, sci-fi movie on there. We watched a couple episodes. We just started Central Park,
which is
animated musical serial show, which has a bunch of creative overlap with Bob's Burgers, but also created by Josh Gad, who plays the annoying snowman in Frozen.
And so far it's got three members of the original Hamilton cast
singing as and Stanley Tucci as the villain old billionaire woman. And
yeah,
pretty good so far. I'm impressed by what Apple TV Plus has. But specifically, like, Raven's Quest and Ted Lasso are some of the best shows I've seen in 2020, maybe.
If you have an iPhone, go into your settings and then tap yourself and go to subscriptions, and you might be able to just get it for free for a year. And if you haven't done that, there's no reason not to. And check it out, because it's pretty great.
Otherwise, I think it's like $5
$5 a month.
$5 a month.
Which is like, not
bad. That's worth paying for a couple months just to cruise through these great shows. Yeah. They're worth that much,
Sure. I really agree.
The only limiting factor is what devices it can stream to, since they really want you to get an Apple TV.
Yeah.
But that's less of a problem all of a sudden. So, yeah. That's
my Xbox. Boner.
Yeah. Molly?
Yeah.
You are embonered, I have heard.
I am embonered. My boner is the same boner I've had for a while, but right now it's got a crust of ice on it. Because I am embonered by Animal Crossing Winter, baby.
Animal Crossing Winter.
That's right, motherfuckers. It's time for another boner on Animal Crossing. No, so winter is one of my favorite times in Animal Crossing because I love building snowmen, and I'm really fucking good at it.
A lot of people hate building snowmen.
Oh, I know. And
fuck those snowmen,
salty.
Man.
They're salty.
Fuck them.
It's easy. Just got to do it right every time. So, Christmas. The month of December is very fun in Animal Crossing because you never know when you're going to get your snow. I guess everyone kind of got it around the same day, but in this version of the game, it was very exciting because all of a sudden it snowed one day and it didn't stick. It just snowed. It was like, oh, it's snowing. And then like nothing. And then a couple days went by and then it snowed again. But it didn't stick. And I was like, oh, it snowed again. And then one day it started snowing and you could tell that it was sticking to the ground because the snowflakes weren't quite disappearing as fast. And that was really just, it's like one of those beautiful environments in this game that is so great. And then sure enough, fucking the next morning woke up, everything covered in snow. And so every day you get two tiny snowballs will appear and you have to roll them up and you roll them around, you make a snowman out of them. And if you make the snowman perfectly, he gives you a DIY and a large snowflake to build it. And if not, he just says, you almost got it. And the snowmen say stupid, funny things. And like, they stay in your town for like 3 or 4 days and they slowly melt. So you just have all these like half melting snowmen all over.
Which makes sense because it's a tropical island that they are on.
I know. It's very,
it makes sense the snowmen would melt.
So what I did was I actually, I went through my whole island once the snow fell and I changed everything to be winter based. So I changed I have a few like picnic blankets on the ground. I changed those to be a different like kind of blanket. And I put like little campfires and things next to everything. So it looked like people were like, you know, winter camping instead of just sitting out on a picnic. I took away all the lawnmowers and hose reels and all that stuff and put them in my storage and instead put up other things for people like they might put out in winter and like just kind of, that was really fun to change all that over. And then there's holiday DIYs, so you can Isabel decorates all the pine trees. So if you plant a bunch of pine trees, you're going to get more of that, and you can shake those and get ornaments. And then you turn the ornaments into like festive garlands and wreaths and trees and stuff like that. But you have to get those DIYs from the balloons, which is kind of a pain. But it was really fun, and I had a really good time. And then it was they call it Toy Day. On Christmas Eve, they do Toy Day, which is Jingle, the black-nosed reindeer, comes to town. And so here's the thing. Historically, that has been kind of awful because in the past games, what's happened is during the course of the month, animals would tell you what they wanted for Christmas, for
like,
Toy Day.
Like hints.
Like they would be like, oh, I just really hope somebody gets me a sweater. Or like, I really want a toy and I want it to be red.
Yeah.
And so you would have to like, they would be like, use the notes function to like record what the animals say, but they could change their minds.
Oh.
Like kids. And so you had to be like, you had to play every day and talk to everyone every day. And then Jingle would give you a sack of toys and you would go to a person, an animal, and they'd be like, do you have my toy? And you would just look at the toy, at everything, all the gifts in the bag and try to pick which one was what they wanted. And if you got everybody right, then you got like Jingle's picture. And so I was like prepared for nonsense. I really was. And instead, it was super easy, and you just like jingles, like the gifts just auto populated, and everyone was really happy, and you got to, it was super fun. A little easier than I anticipated, but still really fun.
I think I sent you that as a comic of all the different NPCs from Animal Crossing, and it's like Pascal, and he's like, oh man, just take it easy, and you know, you'll do all right. And Isabel, who's like, oh, try your best, and your effort is worth something, and just all these characters.
Sahara is like, change is good.
Yeah.
Like the flick is like, follow your art. And like,
And then it gets to the last panel is the snowman, and it's like, imperfection or nothing.
Those snowmen are jackasses. Well, I'm not perfect. And you don't get shit.
There's only 12 winter DIYs that they give out. I've already got them all. So at this point, they don't give me anything when I make a perfect snowman. They just say, oh my God, I'm perfect and I love you. Thank you so much.
Goodbye. Here's another giant snowflake.
They give me another giant snowflake. They don't give me anything else. No more DIYs because I've gotten them all. So for what it's worth, you have the entirety of the winter season to make a snowman every day. So like, don't worry too much about it. In past games, you had to make like an entire snow family. And you had, depending on the sizes that you did, they were different genders and children, and like it was a whole thing.
Father, why did you give me a face?
My biggest frustration is I wanted more of the holiday DIYs to decorate my village, and God damn it, they were hard to get. I'd like sit there with the game on for like, you know, a half hour just running along the beach trying to catch fucking balloons because that's the only way you can get any of the holiday DIYs, and all I'd get is 5 fucking clay every goddamn time. I got so much fucking clay.
5,000 bells, and it's like, ooh, I don't need your money.
I don't need bells. I've got 35 million bells in the bank.
Exactly.
Like when they came up with the expansion, ooh, you can expand your storage, but it's kind of expensive. I'm like, is it though?
Yeah, right?
I don't think it is.
I really enjoy the change in clothing as well. So all the new winter clothes have been super cute. And so I've been like having fun putting on a new outfit every day that I play. And then New Year's Eve was really fun. I will say I had a catastrophic, it didn't turn out to not be catastrophic, but so we had a show on New Year's Eve.
We did.
We weren't in the show, but so we, you know, there was a Ville show, and I was getting lovely and drunk while finishing my last book for the year, and then we hopped onto the Ville Zoom to ring in the new year with all the Villifiers and a few fans, and it was great. And then tipsy drunk Molly is like, I'm going to go play my Animal Crossing and ring in the new year, and I just got to set my clock back by a few minutes here just so I can get to just before midnight. But I forgot to set back the year.
Oh.
So what I did was I went back to December 31st at 11:35 p.m. 2021. And so I didn't realize it until I booted up my game and my character came out with bedhead and went, and I'm like, oh, fuck me. And I quick turned it off. Because I was like, that's bad. I know this is bad. I know. I realized instantly what I did. And I reset the clock and I went back and all my snowmen were gone and my town was full of weeds. And the letters, like I got my birthday gift from my mom early, 4 months early, because she thought the game thought I already had my birthday. And so like there was a bunch of stuff up on the bulletin board about
a whole
shit.
Year of events.
Like, not a whole year. That's what was weird. Just like the weeks of December for some reason were up there.
Maybe it only keeps like the past month.
I don't know.
Because you got mail from April and whatever.
In any event, I got to kill some bugs in my house, which if you haven't done that, that's fun. That's a reason to not play Animal Crossing for a while and then go back to it. Honestly, is you get to kill bugs in your house and they send up little bug ghosts when you step on them and it's very funny. And you know, nobody really cares that you were gone. No one's going to feel they might be like, where have you been? But none of that happened to me, luckily. And I will admit that I cried real hard when I thought that I'd wrecked my game. Like, and so that was the one bit of a downer.
It was endearing.
It was, I'm glad that you think that. but ultimately, winter and Animal Crossing is fun. I'm looking forward to just continuing with more fun winter fashions. And then when it's spring, it's going to be great. I am looking forward to seeing how the environments change again.
Well, so, I did not do New Year's. I want to go back and watch the clock turn. So,
it's
good to hear your mistake.
Yeah,
watch
your
year.
New Year's is super fun, actually. There's fireworks and the big clock, and they sell light up glow sticks, and all the animals are dancing.
It does a countdown too, doesn't it?
They do a countdown.
Yeah.
So it's super fun. And Animal Crossing always makes it so that you can, if you don't have anyone on a holiday, you have animals. And so you don't have to be alone. And I've always thought that was really great. And I'm just lucky that I don't ever have to be alone. You know, and I don't have to worry about it. The animals are second best for me. But if it ever happened, I know they're there for me. So anyway, those are our boners.
Hey.
Wow. That's a pretty good showing of boners, guys.
Yeah, that was more boner than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. But it's time for five questions.
Five questions.
And we have five questions from Felicity Cousinitz.
Hey. Wait, thanks, Felicity.
Friend of
Felicity's
the show.
Like a Patreon supporter, isn't she?
I think she is. Yeah. Yeah. And so she writes to say, hi again. I hope these questions aren't too much of a bummer. I have included my answers as well, which you can read on the podcast if you like, or skip if you're short on time. I say we read them.
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right. So I will read those while you all think about your answers. Mm-hmm. Question one, what was the last event or social gathering you attended before things locked down in your state? Felicity says, at the very beginning of March, I went to a talk and book signing by Tom and Lorenzo, fashion and pop culture bloggers who wrote a book on RuPaul's Drag Race and the last century of LGBTQ history. I have followed them for a long time, ever since they started blogging on Project Runway Season 3. This wound up being one of the few stops on their tour before it was cut short. I went on to enjoy the book and binge several past seasons of Drag Race that I hadn't yet seen.
All right.
So what was the last event or social gathering you attended before things locked down?
It was the same for us, Molly.
Yes.
And I believe that was when we went to the Uptown Theater's Saturday night midnight showing of Cats with two of our Vilification Tennis castmates.
Becky and Merritt.
And Merritt loves Cats. Like,
so
that's like their
so
favorite music. Oh, I didn't know it was Becky's too. So,
but Merritt loves.
And Becky had seen the movie. And the other three of us had not.
Yeah.
But we kind of knew what we were in for. And so the four of us watched Cats with an incredibly interactive and fun audience. And
shouting at the screen. Like,
yeah,
all of it.
It was a midnight movie and people were, you know, getting silly. And unfortunately, that is the last movie we saw in the theater. And the last like social event we had of 2020 before quarantine started.
For my answer, I'll say like the runner up is honestly the last person we saw in person, and the last time we were in someone's house was your house, Tim.
Oh yeah.
I was the last time we recorded in person,
yeah.
Which was like mid-March.
Yeah.
And so your house was the last house that I was in for any given amount of time, and definitely the last
house.
That's
true. And we all kind of knew when we were recording that we were not going to be recording together again for a while.
Yep. What about you? What was the last social event you did?
I have the bummer answer that's true, and I have the answer that I choose to, that I hope I continue to remember. The answer that I hope I continue to remember is we were celebrating a friend's birthday in Texas. We went down to Austin, Texas. We went into the hill country. It was about 20 people.
Was that before lockdown?
That was before lockdown.
Oh,
wow. It was before lockdown. It was the weekend it happened was the weekend South by Southwest was canceled, which was sort of the harbinger of everything going away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was like, this is going to be bad, but we hadn't reached lockdown territory yet.
I remember at the time being very worried for you guys.
And maybe it was a bad choice, but at the time we didn't know that.
You did what you were doing. Yeah.
But the real answer, as far as the last social thing I did, which was literally the day before the governor announced the lockdown of the state, was going to my bandmate Rachel's visitation. So,
because she died the night that I was talking about when we were at your house.
Yep,
she that
same
that
night.
Episode.
That same that night, we went over to her house, and
that was a rough week.
Couple of days later, before it was the official lockdown, we went to her visitation.
I definitely think you should remember the birthday party in Texas.
Yeah.
Instead,
I'm pretty sure 5 years from now, that's what I'll remember. So that's my answer.
Okay, question two. What's the best thing you have watched on TV or streaming services for the first time this year?
Mm.
Felicity answers, I binged Dark on Netflix. It's a German show that lives up to its name, and to say too much about it would be a spoiler in itself. Dark was fucking fantastic.
Time travel hijinks.
100% suggest that you watch that if you haven't. And we actually watched it dubbed.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed the dub. It was good. It was well acted, and it matched up with the video pretty well.
All right.
My answer will be, let's see, the best. Honestly, I think I'm going to go with Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know that we just talked about it, but like, Jesus, every episode, Nick can tell you, after every episode, I turned to him and I was just like, Jesus Christ, like, this is so good. Like, I was really blown away. And pretty much everything else is something that either, because we had Nate living here for many months. And so we rewatched a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
With Nate that Nate hadn't seen.
Right.
Like, we rewatched all of Letterkenny. We rewatched, you know, all the Schitt's Creek. We rewatched a lot of, you know, things like that. So in terms of things that I watched for the first time, I think Ted Lasso is up there with probably one of the ones that really just blew me away.
Hmm. I guess what I will say, because we just binged it and really enjoyed it. And I mean, I will say I get into romantic comedies and shit like that. Pat has read all the books, and I'm like, sure, let's watch it. So we watched Bridgerton, and I really enjoyed it. It's, I mean, like Regency romance, like that sort of shit. Yeah, I'm totally down for it.
Cool.
And I really appreciated like the diversity. They did colorblind casting, basically, and which pissed a lot of people off. It's like, that character wouldn't be black. And they basically like, nope, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
It's really well acted. It's well written. The story is done such that, you know, they managed to take a story, break it into 8 parts, but have each episode feel relatively complete in and of itself, but have you looking forward to the next episode. The basic central plot of which two characters are going to get together. Well, if you haven't figured it out within 10 minutes of watching the show, then I guess,
I mean, it's a Regency
whatever.
Drama, right?
Yeah. I mean,
like,
come on.
It's like a Shakespeare play.
Yeah. You know, and shut up. Of course, you know, that's not what it's about, but it is really, really entertaining. I enjoyed it a lot.
Good. Yeah. I didn't know there was a series of books. That's really cool.
It is. There are 8 books, one for each of the Bridgerton children. This I have learned from my wife.
Yes. All right. Nick, what about you?
It might be the second season of Harley Quinn.
Oh. Ooh, yeah.
Ted Lasso is a good standby, though that's very fresh in my memory. So that's why. And Raven's...
I almost said that again. Yeah,
but like I rewatched that with you, and sure, I don't feel like it doesn't count the same way. But Harley Quinn, the second season, was so fucking good, and it's really, really doing a great job of being a more than adequate placeholder for Venture Brothers, which I miss so dearly.
Yes,
it's very similar in style and sense of humor. As it's a very pop culturally aware show and foul mouthed.
Have we made you watch that yet, Tim?
Harley Quinn or Venture
Harley
Brothers?
Harley Quinn, the
animated
show.
No, it's again on my list, but we should make it an episode plan, and then I'll have to watch it.
I think we should. I think Pat would like it too.
It's filthy and very funny.
Yeah. All right. Question 3. Is there a favorite TV show or movie that you have returned to as comfort food during this time? Felicity says, since I've already rewatched Parks and Recreation in its entirety twice, as recently as last year, I haven't deployed it yet, but it's there if I need it. Hmm. Comfort food, anyone?
I know what yours is, probably.
What do you think mine is?
Schitt's Creek.
No.
Oh.
Mine's Letterkenny.
Oh yeah.
I'm on my like so watching Letterkenny with Nate was the third time I have watched all of Letterkenny in its entirety, and I have been considering watching it again just because I love it so much, and it is short and good and funny, and it brings me a lot of joy. I love it. Schitt's Creek is also good, but I've only really seen that once. So
I'm on my third viewing of The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
I watched alone, and then I rewatched with you because we needed to watch it. And then now it's kind of like what I watch to when Molly's snoozing and I want to play video games or whatever to wrap up the night or whatever.
I've actually been wanting to rewatch that one too.
It's great. It holds up. You don't need to give it your full attention necessarily, but like, you know, something funny or a good action scene is coming up, then you're like, oh, hang on, I'm gonna put down my phone for a minute. This is good.
Yeah. That's good.
What about you?
The Good Place. I rewatched the entire series, and there are like times where I'm like, I want to watch this particular episode. I'll go back and rewatch a specific episode, but it has been
go back and see the time knife.
The time knife.
I haven't done it during the pandemic, but I've done that a lot in the past with Arrested Development. Mm. When I'm sick, just being like, you know what? I'm going to watch season two. That was a good season, you know? And All right, question four. Of all the events you planned to attend that have been canceled in 2020 and early 2021, which are you most disappointed about? Mm. Felicity says, my favorite convention is Gallifrey One, which takes place in Los Angeles every February. I have attended since 2001, but I had to skip 2019 due to illness. 2020 was my triumphant return, but they made the wise decision to skip 2020 and 2021 for reasons I completely understand, to skip 2021 for reasons I understand. It just sucks to lose that momentum again.
Yeah.
But she was able to go to 2020, but then, because it was before, but yeah. Right. So what got canceled on you that you were the most disappointed about?
God, that is a hard question. There's so much I missed this year.
Yeah, for me, it was our family reunion trip in June was supposed to be to Naples, Florida, where I was going to get to see my Nana, and we get condos on the beach, and it's basically just Molly heaven. We go to the liquor store, I get myself a bunch of tasty liquor, I walk out the door to the beach, spend all day in my bikini in the ocean in the sun, you know, like, and with my family, who I genuinely love and miss very much, and get to hang out with Nick and my brother and the kids, and it's just, we don't get to do that.
There's no fucking way we're going to be in Florida in June.
No. We might get to go this year, we're going to see. Everything rolled
depends
over. It depends on a lot. I mean, it's a vacation that really doesn't require us to be around anybody else.
Right.
And we're living in condos where we do our own cleaning and cooking and everything anyway. So like, we'll see.
It depends on whether or not you can be around your family, really.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
I think Convergence.
Convergence, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's the first time I haven't gone to a Convergence since I started going to Convergence, you know? Like, and I think that's the way it is for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our anniversary of sorts for us. Yep. And it's the time of year. I have so many old friends that's the time we get to talk.
Yeah.
And that's the time we get to hang out. And we don't during the rest of the year. Like, I have roommates that I lived with for like a year that I really get along with. My oldest best friend, the only time I ever really see him in person is at Convergence, usually, you know, when he's outside smoking. So
we don't see Cargill.
That's the only time we see Cargill.
Yeah, both the Cargills we used to get to see
Convergence. The only time we see Windy.
We really get to see Windy there. Yeah.
So it was not just the event, but also the people I get to see. Yeah. That's my chance.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Yeah. we were supposed to go to England in July.
Yeah.
Most of the month of July was going to be spent in England. And it would be the first time the kids had ever been to Europe. And granted, they're you know, cynical teenagers, so they wouldn't have appreciated it until 20 years from now. But at least 20 years from now, they might have appreciated it.
Exactly.
But I was super psyched. We were going to take a cruise around to the small British Isles around Scotland and shit
We talked about it on the show. I think it was one of your boners.
It was. I was super excited to be going and to do that with my family. And we even had a surprise visit at the end to Disneyland Paris, which Devin is obsessed with. And we were not telling them.
My kids need wine.
Yeah, the kids did not know that we got off the cruise, we were going to get on a train and we were going to go and stay at Disneyland Paris for 3 days before we flew home. And none of that happened.
Yeah.
Does he know now that was the plan?
No, we kept it quiet because theoretically, we're going to do this trip in 2022.
Well, luckily, he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, did you get to roll it over and everything? Because most
everything was we got trip insurance anyway.
Yeah.
At least in part because we just were like, this is too big a thing to not.
Sure. Yeah.
But everything basically we got, you know, rolled over to the future.
Yeah.
So we can do it in 2022, but 2021 is too early. There's no way we can do it.
Yeah. The only reason, the problem with my family vacation is we're kind of under the ticking clock of my very old grandmother. And,
right.
And like, luckily she has, despite people in her long-term care center getting COVID left and right, she has not. And she got her first round of vaccinations already. So she gets her second, she gets her second shot soon. And she's otherwise very healthy. It's just that she has really bad dementia. So, you know, it's one of those things with Lewy body dementia, you never really know when it's just going to be like time, right? So it's not for her to see us. She doesn't know who we are. But I would like to see my grandma, hug my grandma, you know, one more time before she's gone. And so part of it's like, we could just push it off to 2022, but will Nana be around? Like,
right.
Yeah. You know, so it's tricky. It's tricky. It's the one thing I might be willing to be risky about, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Florida.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, question five. Have you attended any virtual events that did a particularly good job transitioning to an online format? Felicity says, my husband and I are regulars at DragonCon, and while each programming track did its own thing, the tracks we are involved with did a fantastic job with programming throughout the weekend. I want to shout out American Sci-Fi Classics and American Sci-Fi and Fantasy Media for making the best of the situation. The former track had been hosting weekly panels in the months before DragonCon and continues to do so. I've included links to both tracks' YouTube channels in case you or other listeners want to see their offerings.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
I don't like socializing by Zoom. I don't like a meeting full of 50 people or whatever. I like when people are like, we're going to have a Zoom happy hour. Like, that is like hell to me. I'm an extrovert and I love being around people, and I don't care for that type of engagement at all. If it was a smaller group or just a couple of people, that'd be fine. But I think the thing I've been most satisfied with that is adapted to online has been either performing in or watching vilification tennis shows.
I was going to say the same thing.
I'm like, oh, we're so good.
I'm like, no, I've just been super happy how we've been able to make the show work, you know, and still trying new formats and still trying new shit. Not all of which works, but most of it does.
Costuming and improv and.
Our Fuck 2020 shows, I had so much fun participating in those shows.
Yeah.
They were just, they were funny and they were playful and people were having a good time. And yeah, I mean, I hate to be like, this thing that we did is the best, but really seriously fucking is.
The question is about what you enjoyed most, and that's valid. It's not about jerking yourself off. It's, I think that with Vil, because like we don't do the same show more than once usually, or maybe twice, we don't make a big financial investment in things like decorations or costumes or even bits, because we're always doing something pretty new in that regard. Those limitations have always forced us to get creative and entertaining ways in a way that is usually fairly transparent about its comedic shittiness. That's not a comment on the quality of the show. That's like a comment on, you know, dressing up as a trash fire for the 2016 show as your costume and things like that. Mm-hmm. Right. I feel like those same challenges now with being most, you know, entirely online has allowed us to do some really fun things that have paid off very well that we literally could not have done in person. And that's been surprising and enjoyable and a little bit of a silver lining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I am not an extrovert and really am just not into, I think if I were alone, I would be more into doing like an virtual events, you know, we tried to do this Expanse fan con. That they did online for the season 5 premiere of The Expanse. And I feel like if it had just been me, I probably could have gotten more into it and been like listening to things and chatting with people. But because there's two of us in the same space, part of my personality is I'm always very concerned that everybody around me is having a good time. And it's very hard to do that when everybody around me is one person in person and then a bunch of people online. And so like it, it just, my party dynamic is making, is either being entertaining or making sure everyone's entertained. Right. So like, that's hard to do virtually. And I mm-hmm. end up just feeling like either I'm just going to shut down and not talk and just listen to everybody, which isn't super interesting when it's strangers. Or I just sort of don't go. Right. And so I will say I had a good time at Online Convergence, even though they threw it at us with like 2 days to go and we didn't really know what was happening. And it was, you know, the organization was really rough for everybody involved, I know, because it kind of happened really, really, like we were just like, fuck it, let's do it live. And everyone just did it. I still had a really good time. Yeah. and performing in it and doing stuff with that. And it didn't feel like Convergence, but it felt like not Convergence. Like, and I would say like those are my two closest experiences to having fun with something where I felt like I was actually part of a community, even just for like the 20 minutes I was on that Expanse thing and like the two bits we did for Online Convergence. It's hard for me to connect that way, but I did enjoy my time with that. Obviously I love Ville, but I didn't want to just pile on with the Ville love fest here, so yeah. Anyway, thank you, Felicity. Thanks. Are our answers to your five questions. If you want to ask us five questions, please send them to 5questions@geeksaboutgod.com. We only have one set left.
No.
Jeremy fucking Stomberg.
Fucking A.
So come on. Like, he gave us extra questions. Are you better than Jeremy Stomberg?
No, you are not.
If you're not, then, I mean, I guess don't send us questions. But if you think you are, send us your five questions to 5questions@geeksaboutgod.com. You can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/geeksaboutgod. We are working on a website redesign so that we're not just doing dumb old WordPress. And, you know, hopefully
we're going to do dumb new WordPress.
Dumb new WordPress.
Yeah.
And hopefully bringing other fun things once we get back in person. We really appreciate that all of you, whether you support us on Patreon or not, have put up with the audio quality and the fact that we're not in the same room and things can sound weird and with our guests recording and stuff, that everything's been, you know, not really the way it always has been for so many years that we've done this show every week. And, you know, we're going to record in person as soon as we can. But we appreciate that for now you guys are still with us and still listening and still writing in with your five questions. Just write in with the five fucking questions.
Just do it. Fucking
A,
man. We need
them so badly. Don't make me be creative during a pandemic. I'm already pushed to the brink.
We just need your five questions.
All right. Thank you so much. We've been Geeks Without God, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Big money, no whammies. Wah, wah.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Here's somebody you can talk to because I'm not going to fucking do this job.